We want to talk today about three things to do to improve your life today. Now, I'm sure that there are probably hundreds of things that we could do to improve our life, but we don't have time for all 100, so we'll just do three today. And besides, it's easier to remember three things than 100. So we'll start with something simple, and we can add to it another time, perhaps. If I asked you this question, why did Jesus come to earth? What answer might you give? Well, there are a lot of different answers that could be given, I'm sure. Some things that we would say, well, he came to die on the cross. Well, that would be true. We might say, well, he came so that we could go to heaven. Well, that would also be true. We might say, well, he said it himself. He said, I came to seek and save the lost. Well, that also is true. We might say, well, he said he came to minister, not to be ministered to. Well, that's true as well. But today we want to focus on one of the other reasons that Jesus came to this earth. In John chapter 10, in verse 10, he gives us this one. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, most people want a better life. They want an abundant life. But they're often looking for it in the wrong way or in the wrong places. And they're looking for a way to improve their life, but they're thinking that the wrong things will make their life better. And some people try to use money or possessions. Some people try to use people. Some people try to use drugs or alcohol. They think that it's going to make their life better. But those things won't really do it. G.D. Morgan said this, it is easier to act your way into a better way of feeling than to feel your way into a better way of acting. One of the things that is often told to people who are suffering from depression or other mental difficulties or where they're not feeling like getting involved in life. One of the things that's often told them is, well, you have to choose to get up and do certain things. And by doing those certain things, it will change the way you feel. If you don't feel like going for a walk, go for the walk anyway. And when you finish with the walk, you'll feel better. Same thing we could say when we come to worship. Maybe you don't feel like singing. Well, sing anyway. And when you're finished, you'll feel better. Doing the thing that we're supposed to do or the thing that we should do or doing a good thing will help us feel better. If we wait until we feel right about everything, we might never do anything. And that's one of the problems with depression, that people wind up, they don't even get out of bed because they just don't feel like it. Well, we have to force ourselves sometimes to overcome the way we feel and do what we've got to do anyway. Tell the children many times, I don't feel good, I don't want to do that. Well, sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do. And sometimes you have to do things you don't feel like doing. And in the long run, it'll work out better for you. That's hard for children to understand and believe that. Sometimes hard for us as adults to understand and believe that. But the fact of the matter is, if we want a better life, there are some things we're going to have to do. Can't just wait for it to happen to us. Well, if this would happen to me, I'd feel better. If this happened to me, I'd have a better life. If that happened to me, my life would be just perfect then. No, it wouldn't. Because the things that happen to you are not what makes your life better. The things you choose to do are what makes your life better. And so Jesus came so that we could have an abundant life. But we have to choose whether we're going to have that abundant life or not. And part of that has to do with being obedient to Him in every area of our lives. Now, walking around with a guilty conscience when we know we're not doing what we're supposed to is not a very abundant life, is it? Walking around knowing, well, I kind of halfway did that and I should have done a better job of it, is not a good way to live an abundant life and have a better life. And understanding, of course, Jesus wants us to have an abundant life. He said that they may have life and have it more abundantly, but He did not mean more money or more possession. He wasn't talking about a physical standard of living. Now, obviously, we all want to be able to eat and sleep and have food and clothing, shelter, those necessities of life. We like those things. That's nice to have in it. We say, well, you couldn't have an abundant life if you didn't have those things. Well, there were many in the first century who didn't have some of those things, and yet they had an abundant life. Paul and Silas were sitting in a prison at midnight after having been beaten and were bleeding and in pain, and they were chained to the inner cell. We might say, well, they didn't have an abundant life, did they? They thought they did. You know what they were doing at midnight? I know what most of us would have been doing at midnight, moaning and groaning. That was unfair. I didn't really break any law. Why are they treating me like this? I'm going to sue them as soon as I get out of here. That's what we would have probably been saying. Or we'd have been going, oh, I hurt so bad, and we wouldn't have been thinking that far ahead. You know, just, oh, I wish I had some Tylenol with codeine, you know, that kind of thing. But not Paul and Silas. At midnight, after being beaten and thrown in the inner prison and chained up, they were singing and praising God. See, they had the abundant life. The abundant life has not got anything to do with your physical circumstances. It has to do with your spiritual mentality. So let's look at three things then. If you want your life to get better, if you want your life to be better, number one, smile more. Now you say, now wait a minute. I smile when I feel good. Yeah, but you know, if you'll force yourself to smile more, you'll feel good more often. It'll become a way of life with you. And you may have to force it at first. It may not come naturally. You may have lived for so long with a sour face that it may be hard to sweeten it up. Proverbs 15:13 says, "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." Our face, our countenance, is a mirror of what's going on in our heart. If we have joy and peace and the blessings of God in our heart, we need to let it show. Sing with the little kids sometimes. They sing the song, "If you're happy and you know it, smile real big." And at the end of that song it says, if you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. Does our face show it? I mean, think about when we go out to tell people, and we're telling people that we're Christians, and do we? I mean, you got some folks look like they were baptized in vinegar and weaned on a pickle, and they're telling people about being a Christian. It'd be a better life if you'd be a Christian, and they're looking at you thinking, if that's what being a Christian is, I don't want any part of that. I'm happier without it. You see, part of the abundant life is we're going to have to show that we're going to, if that's really in our heart, if we really understand that we have received forgiveness of our sins, if we have been accepted as part of God's family, we've been adopted into His family, and we have the ability to go to Him in prayer any time we want to. And He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Then we need to smile more. Now, obviously, we're not talking about a fake smile. We're not about we just walk around with one plastered on our face all the time. That's not, but we need to be people of a cheerful countenance. It needs to reflect what's in our heart. If we're the most miserable person that anybody's ever been around, we're not reflecting the light of Christ very well. saw this poem. The power of a gun can kill. The power of fire can burn. The power of wind can chill. And the power of the mind can learn. The power of anger can rage inside until it tears you apart. But the power of a smile, especially yours, can heal a frozen heart. You know, believe it or not, that did not come from the Disney movie Frozen. And you might think it did, but it didn't. But the power that a smile has, have you ever noticed? When somebody smiles, how much more you'd rather be next to that person? How much more you'd rather look at that person when they're smiling? The greatest facelift that most of us could receive is not from a plastic surgeon. It's simply to smile. Just smile. It'll make your face look better. And I have not seen anybody that did not look better when they were smiling than when they weren't. Now, I'm not talking about a great big grin with rotten teeth showing necessarily, but just a smile. There are a lot of things that we need to understand about the power that we have with just smiling more. Once we've changed our own countenance, our own way of looking, just our and I know that's just a surface thing. You say, well, how does smiling make my life better? People will be friendlier to you if you're smiling more. Now we say, well, what difference does it make if people are friendlier to me? Well, you will get along with people better if you're smiling than if you're grouchy looking. It's just nature of people, because we already talked about it ourselves. Who would we rather be around, the person who's smiling or the person who's frowning and grumpy and growling? Well, we'd rather be next to the person that's smiling. Everybody else would too. And so that will make us a more attractive person, not just physically attractive, but emotionally. People will want to be near us. But there's a second thing, and this one takes another step further. Compliment more. Give more compliments. Now, that doesn't mean that we never tell somebody that there's a problem or that there's something wrong. Studies that have been done, though, have shown how powerful words can be. And I don't know how they measured it, and I don't know how accurate it is. But I have heard the statistic given by psychologists, psychiatrists, that type of study being done, that with children especially, and I'm sure the same would hold true with adults to some degree, they need 4 compliments for every condemnation or every judgment, every negative statement that is made, in order to have a healthy attitude. Now, I don't know if those numbers are exactly right, but even if it was 2-1. But we know it ourselves. Think about the impact one negative statement can have on us. I just think about whether you're man or woman. If someone came up and complimented you on your clothing today, maybe 4 or 5 people came up and complimented you on it, and then one person walked up to you and said, "That is the ugliest outfit I've ever seen." Which one are you going to remember next week? Chances are next week, when you're picking out your outfit for Sunday, you're going to look through and you're going to, "I don't want to wear that one again. Somebody told me that was the ugliest one they'd ever seen." Why? I don't know why it is, but the negative things seem to stick with us more. On the other hand, Mark Twain said, "I could live a whole month on a compliment." Compliments are powerful things, and we need to share them. Proverbs has a lot to say about the power of our words. In chapter 12 and verse 25, it says, "Heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad." Chapter 15 and verse 23 says, "A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it?" Chapter 16 and verse 24 says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Chapter 25 and verse 11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Like gold apples in a silver picture frame. That's shiny. That's pretty, isn't it? And chapter 27, verse 9 says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Being complimentary. Now we say, wait a minute. Now all those things, those are about how if somebody complimented me, it would make me feel better. Do you remember what Jesus said? Do you remember the quotation in Acts that's not recorded anywhere in the Gospels? But it said, the Lord said, it is better to give than to receive. If you think receiving a compliment makes you feel good, and it does, doesn't it? You can probably think of some compliments you've received in your lifetime, maybe even way years back, that just made you feel good. But it's better to give than to receive. It will make your life better if you give some compliments. Now, yes, it'll make your life better if you receive them. Jesus said, give and it shall be given to you. You want a compliment? Start complimenting other people. You'll be surprised. Some folks that you never thought would have given you a compliment might give you one. Now, when we talk about compliments, we're not talking about just flattering people and saying things that aren't true and just to butter them up for some nefarious alternative reason. That's not what we're talking about. There needs to be truth in those compliments, but saying the right thing. Out in the entryway just a little while ago and Jamie got a nice compliment from Julie. I don't know if it was true or not. There was some debate about that, but he said something about her hug making his bald head feel better. And she said, you don't have a bald head. Well, now he's got a big head, you know, because she said that, you know. But you know, just saying something kind to somebody will make them feel better. I remember when I was probably not a whole lot older than Julia is, my mother had gotten a haircut that she did not like. She'd gone to the beauty shop and had her hair done, and she didn't like it. Now, I'll tell you this right up front about women's hairdos. I never know if they're right or not. I assume they look like they're supposed to look. I don't know. I couldn't tell one from another, you know, whether it's supposed to be that way or not. But they can tell. Well, you women can tell. One hair is out of place, and you know it. I don't know how. I can't tell, but you know. But she came back from the beauty shop, and she was not feeling the beauty at all, you know, and she was crying about it. I mean, literally crying about the haircut she'd had. Some of you, I don't know. I just put on a ball cap when I got a bad haircut one time, but that's, you know, but she was upset. And she, of course, it was years ago, and she said, well, this hairdo makes me look like an old lady. And I, being the naive little fellow that I was, I walked up to her and said, well, you're a pretty old lady, Mama. But, you know, she still remembers that to this day. I don't know if she's forgiven me for it or not, but, you know, but actually, under those circumstances, since I was a little child, you know, people accept things from a little child they never accept from anybody else. You know, she was glad to hear that little compliment, you know. But we do need to think about how we can not only make other people's lives better by complimenting them, but it will make our lives better by giving those compliments. You know, Jesus complimented people. Sometimes we think now, you know, and we said, this doesn't mean you never point out the negative. Jesus pointed out the negative plenty of times, but he complimented people too. He said things. Do you remember the occasion where the person came to him, wanted their child to be healed, and he said, well, you know, I can't come right now. He said, well, just say the word and it'll be done. And you remember what Jesus said? I have not seen so great a faith in all of Israel. That's a compliment. Do you remember what Jesus said when he was asking the people about they'd gone out to see John the Baptist? And he said, did you go out to see a prophet? Yes, and more than a prophet. Matthew 11, verses 9 through 11, Jesus said, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, which shall prepare the way before you. And then in verse 11 he says, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen one greater than John the Baptist. Well, that's a compliment, isn't it? Now, was Jesus just flattering John? Was that untrue? No, it was true. Jesus wouldn't have said it if it wasn't true. Same thing with the guy who complimented him on his faith and how great his faith. Another time a woman, you know, through the crowd, just if she could just touch the hem of his garment. And she did, and she was healed. And he turned around and he saw her when she realized, you know, found who had done that and said to her, he said, great is your faith, and be it unto you as you want it. You be healed because your faith is so great in me. He complimented people when they needed to be complimented. When Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, what did he do? Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, or Jonah. He complimented people. Now sometimes I'm afraid we think that if we say something nice to somebody, if we say something that, you know, we joked about with Jamie a little while about giving them the big head, but sometimes I think we really think that, well, we can't ever say anything nice to anybody or they'll just get all puffed up. Well, you know, some people might. But I tell you what, most people are short on compliments. They need some. And we need to be the people that give them. And it will make our life better just as much as it does make their life better. All right, last thing, number three. If we want our lives to be better, we need to make more positive statements. Now again, that doesn't mean that we never make negative statements, but honestly, many of us make far more negative statements than are necessary. Do you remember? I don't know, maybe your mother never said it. You know, I don't remember if my mother ever actually did. But somebody's mother that was apparently became pretty commonly said, do you remember what your mother used to say? Or maybe your grandmother, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all? Well, now we understand, you know, there are times where things have to be confronted. There are times where things are wrong and it has to be said so. So, you know, we don't just, well, I can't say anything because it's not nice. No, there are times where the truth has to be spoken. Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. Even when we are speaking that truth, and even when it's a hard truth, we still need to do it out of love. And even Jesus, when he said those things, he said some hard sayings. He said some tough stuff, especially to those scribes and Pharisees. But he was saying it out of love. He was trying to get them to repent. He was trying to shake them out of their stagnation that they had gotten themselves into. Sometimes we say mean things just to be mean. And we need to beware of that. But we need to make more positive statements. But not just positive toward other people. We need to make more positive statements for ourselves. My grandmother, I don't know, your grandmother may not have ever said this, but my grandmother, whenever my mother or one of her siblings would say, well, I can't do that. My grandmother would say, Kate fell in a bucket of paint. Well, Kate never did because Kate never tried. And it's true that sometimes we limit ourselves and we limit our families and we limit the church and we try to limit God with negative statements. Well, God won't do such and such. Or, you know, nobody wants to hear the gospel. Well, nobody wants to do what... We say all of these negative type statements. And because of that, we wind up with a negative outlook on life. Now, that's not meaning... You know, we're not to try to be little Pollyanna, naive, you know, there's no bad in the world. Well, that's not what we're talking about. But just look for the positive more often. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verses 43 through 45, "For a good tree brings not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes." And then he says, see, you know, we're talking about trees and bushes, but now he says, what about people? "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." What's in your heart? Not only is it going to come out in your face, we talked about that earlier, but it's going to come out in the way you talk. If everything you say is always negative about everything, if you're always pessimistic, the glass is half empty. Well, actually, it's probably 60% empty. You know, but if we've got that kind of outlook toward life, we're not going to have a very abundant life like Jesus wanted us to have. Now, I may have gone too far the other direction, perhaps. Some people say the optimist says that the glass is half full. But I've gone beyond that, because if you will, unless you're in outer space, that glass is full. Doesn't matter how much liquid it has in it, the rest of it's full of air. It's full! That glass has got, it's full to the top and overflowing. But we've got to realize that we have to look at the opportunity. And one of the things that we have to remember, whether it's at home or at church, at work or school, with acquaintances or strangers or friends, what we've got to realize is the thing that the Bible tells us. God is able to do abundantly above all that we think or imagine. So, if we think, well, that just can't be done, we're wrong. God can do more than we think can be done. If we say, well, we could do this much, right? Or we can have this much of a hope, or this is, you know, hope for this. God can do more than that. We need to be positive in our outlook, especially in the areas where God is concerned. I hear people, and sometimes, you know, sometimes we get down on ourselves, we get down on the church. Well, you know, people just aren't very religious. The church just can't, you know, nobody wants to hear it. And I know, because we all think these things sometimes. God made a promise. He said, "My word will not return to me void, but it will accomplish the purpose I have set for it," back in Isaiah. Things haven't changed since Isaiah's day. God's Word is still accomplishing its purpose. Now, we may not fully understand all of that purpose. You know, the Word of God, you know, sometimes the Word draws people to God, and sometimes it drives people away from God. They won't accept it, and they run the other direction. That may be the case, but it's doing its job. If we're letting it out of the book. And we've got to be sure. Now, again, we're not, when we talk about making more positive statements, we're not trying to be hypocrites. We're not trying to be Pollyanna and look at the whole world rose-colored glasses that there's nothing bad out there. There is sin in this world, and sin's a serious problem. There's no doubt about that. But Jesus can cure it. And He can cure each and every sin that's out there. And he wants us to not just survive, not just live, he wants us to have the abundant life. And these are just three of the ways. Certainly, like I said, there are a lot more things that we can do that will help our lives be more abundant. But if we put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ and let the smiles out of our heart and let the compliments come out of our mouth and make more positive statements by choice of our minds. That's something it's become with some of us, it's kind of a subconscious thing. It just out comes the negative thought before we even realize it. We have to make a conscious effort to change our minds. The Bible talks about the fact that through Christ and in Christ as Christians, we are to be renewing our minds day by day. Our mind needs to be new. Needs to be different. Elbert Hubbard, don't have any idea who he is. No clue. But I tell you, I agree with this thing he said. Don't know about anything else he said. But he said this, and I agree with it. Life in abundance comes only through great love. It was Jesus' great love that brought Him to earth to bring us the opportunity to have life more abundantly. But it's going to have to be our love for Him that helps us to actually have that abundant life that He wants us to have. Half-hearted love, an I kind of like Jesus, is not going to do it. It takes great love. Perhaps you haven't been enjoying the abundant life that Jesus wants you to have. Why not? What's stopping you? What is keeping you from having the life He wants you to have? He's not keeping you from having it. You can't blame the government. Well, the government's got its problems. Yes, it does, but they're not keeping you from having the abundant life Jesus wants you to have. They can't. It's beyond their power. They can't stop you from having the abundant life. I'm reminded of the man who was called in to the IRS and they were auditing him. And they said, well, we've got your taxes in here and we're going to ask you some questions. And he said, well, that's fine. He said, I've got treasure untold. He said, I've got a mansion and I've got eternal life waiting for me in heaven. And the IRS agent said, we hadn't figured out a way to tax that yet. They can't stop you from having the abundant life that Jesus promised. Nobody else can stop you from smiling. Nobody else can stop you from giving a compliment. Nobody else can stop you from making a positive statement. That's all on you. Well, if you haven't been enjoying the abundant life that Jesus came to bring you, why not start today? What are you waiting for? Do you like not having it? Do you like being miserable? I think there are some folks that do, and if that's you, fine. Just enjoy being miserable. But most of us, I think, want to have an abundant life. Let's make these few easy changes so that we can. I say easy. They're simple. They're not really easy, are they? They're hard. They're difficult. Because we have to change the way we've been living our life for years, maybe, in order to do these things. But it'll be worth it. And I tell you what, if you try it for a month and it's not worth it, you can go back to your old miserable ways. Nobody will make you stay happy. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation today, please do so as we stand and as we sing.